Our scripture reading today is Psalm 51, verses 6 through 10, and the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 5 through 9. Let us listen for the word of God. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. The Gospel of John. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, You will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
If we didn't have such a wonderful presenter this morning, I would be tempted to have another round of playing and have a prayer and head on out the door. Thank you. I thought I was prepared for it this time. But we do have another wonderful presenter, and I don't mean me, although I'm pretty good. I'm going to be contemplative this morning. A couple of you have mentioned to me that you like the more contemplative Dawn. I don't know what that says, but okay. I want to say a word of thanks first to our folks who participated in the great day of service last week. If you participated, would you lift your hand if you're able? Wonderful. We want to thank Ben and his team of folk that worked so diligently. My friends, we were successful again. God blessed us with enough people that we packed 20,000 meals again this year. And once they are distributed through Stop Hunger Now, the person will inform Ben, and then Ben will let us know, and we will let you know where all of your hard efforts and works have going globally. We are in our Lenten series, Life Essentials. The whole series has to do with studying, exploring, and examining some of those life occurrences that are critical for our human existence. We believe that all of the essentials we are focusing on are sacramental. Pastor Dean has mentioned before that staff got together and we just named several things that we thought were essential for our life living, and we narrowed them down, and we do believe that all of the ones that we are talking about over this Lenten season are indeed part of our sacramental experience. So far, we've talked about breathing. Last week, Pastor Dean preached on sleeping. I hope you got some good rest this past week. And then he teed it up for today for us to focus on washing. If you would take a gander through the person to your left and to your right and let us have a prayer. Thank you, God, for the presence of people around us. Enter into our hearts again, afresh and anew, that we might receive with joy what you have for us today. Amen. Sacraments are an outward sign of an inward grace. In other words, sacraments are conduits of God's grace. It is through the sacraments that we receive and experience what I believe is the richness and the fullness of God. Most Protestant churches observe two sacraments, Holy Communion and baptism. In other religious traditions, other ones are observed. In our denomination, we teach that baptism is an act of gratitude for God's grace that God has done and what is to come. We use water to signify the washing away of sin. We employ ritual readings that remind us of God's work, and we invoke God's Spirit to be poured out on all of us who are gathered here. It is personal, yet it is public. Pastor Teresa leads our baptismal class. If people are interested, please contact her. If you have been in this church or perhaps another United Methodist church, you may have heard these words when one is coming forth to be baptized. Through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. I count it a signal joy every time I get the experience of participating in a baptism. While we believe in this ritual in the Christian church, other faith traditions hold different beliefs and ritual practices. I think you've heard Pastor Dean mention this before. While we are significant in our belief, we are not exclusive of other faith traditions. We follow the way of Jesus by heeding to the teaching, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We would not have the capacity to love as Christians if it were not for the Jewish faith. I want to say that again. We would not have the capacity to love as Christians if it were not for the Jewish faith. Today we are going to learn about the ritual cleansing of mikvah. Baptism is not the same as the Jewish tradition of mikvah. In our denomination, we baptize once. We believe our one-time baptism carries us for our life. Through my limited knowledge of mikvah, I certainly understand this ritual bath is deeply spiritual and is profoundly transformational. We are delighted to welcome our neighbor, Naomi Malka. She had her mother here at the 9:30 service. Naomi comes to us from Addis Israel congregation, just a little ways from here. She is on the senior staff as the ritual coordinator and mikvah director. Naomi earned a master's in Jewish music from Jewish Theological Seminary and a BA in sociology from UCLA. She is a trained mikvah guide, and she has created Bodies of Water, which we're going to learn about in a little bit, a program for Jewish women and girls to learn about mikvah for positive body image and healthy decision making. Now, if you were here last week, you heard Pastor Dean share that this was Naomi's first experience being in a Christian church and then also in a Christian worship service. He asked us to be gentle and to be kind, to be open. I was talking with Pastor Teresa a little bit ago. She shared something with me from the service at 9:30 with our music that we are singing today, with some of the words that we are saying today. We wanted Naomi to have a full and authentic experience of the Christian church. I did. Naomi, you will recall our conversations talking that we make a lot of references to Jesus, blood, all kinds of things in here. So we're going to give it all to you when you come so you can be filled up. And it'll carry you a long time. You won't have to ever come back. But we want you to come back. My friends, Teresa, Pastor Teresa is going to talk with Naomi. Would you already greet her and give thanks to God for her presence among us?
So we're welcomed and excited to have you here, Naomi.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you to you and to Pastor Don, to the musicians, to all of you, to the congregation. Thank you so much. It's an honor.
So Naomi is a specialist in this area. And so could you tell us, what exactly is mikvah?
Well, any one of you who's ever seen an ocean or a river or a lake with a flowing freshwater source knows what a mikvah is. That is a mikvah. And because we can't always access those bodies of water safely and in the right temperature, we build an indoor mikvah, which is really a symbol of an ocean. And we collect rainwater. And when somebody is ready to go in, we let the rainwater flow into the filtered, purified tap water. And it's at that moment that the flow begins that it becomes a kosher mikvah. So all man-made mikvahs have 7 steps going down. 7 is a big number in Judaism. And it symbolizes wholeness and completion.
So could you tell us, what is the Jewish history of mikvah?
So the Torah begins with the first line that God created. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the second line of the whole Torah is that the face of God, the Spirit of God, hovered over the face of the waters. And then the text goes on to describe all of the different acts of creation, the animals and the greenery, the trees, the birds, everything else that was created. But when we look to see when or where water was created, it was already there. So water is understood in our history and in our text as being God's partner in creation. And that is the root of mikvah. For a desert-dwelling people like the ancient Israelites, a natural source of water also represented hope for the sustenance of a community. And the word mikvah is closely related to the word tikvah, which means hope. In the later biblical Levitical times, the mikvahs were used to purify people who were going to then offer a sacrifice in the portable tabernacle in the desert. Later on in the actual temple in Jerusalem, they continued to be a part of the worship and sacrifice service. When the temple was destroyed, the use of mikvah for all these ritual reasons fell to the wayside. And for the thousands of years between then and now, the only group of Jewish people who continued this tradition were married Jewish women who were using the mikvah on their monthly cycle. Until about 20 or 30 years ago, when people in the more progressive, liberal Jewish communities said, we have more reasons that we would like to use the mikvah too, all kinds of reasons of personal transition. And so the definitions about who could use the mikvah began to increase, and the access and education to it began to increase. And that's part of my mission, is expanding access to all Jewish people.
And so is there, here we have baptism classes, is there a way that people enter mikvah? Are there classes? Is there a rites of passage that people go through before mikvah?
Not really. I was given a very strong Jewish education from the time I was this high. And until I was in college, I didn't know anything about it. I had never heard about it. And you may have heard a little bit from somebody who went to it, but it really wasn't part of mainstream Judaism. And that is changing, and that's also part of my mission because I believe it's so important and that it can be a very diverse practice, that it doesn't have to be an Orthodox practice. So now we are offering classes and workshops and really opening the doors and taking the secrecy out of it.
And so Adis Israel, if you don't know about it, is a congregation a lot like Foundry. It's a large Jewish congregation that's reconciling and engaged in service and community. And Naomi created a wonderful program that I'm excited about called Bodies of Water. Could you talk to our congregation about what that is and the impact that it has on your ministry and work?
Mm-hmm. Bodies of Water is a 3-hour workshop for women and girls ages 10 and up, and it introduces mikveh as a tool for positive body image. And whereas mikveh in the past may have been connected in some communities to taboos around blood and around sex, in this new reframing of mikveh, it is a place where positive body feeling is generated, and where girls and women are given the message that their bodies are holy. And this is the message of the mikveh in general to everyone, whether that body is male or female, or old or young, or whatever color it is, or whatever size it is, or whatever state of health or disability the body is in. The body is your agent of good in the world. It is your, the seat of your soul. And for that alone, it is holy. And it doesn't have to look a certain way, and it doesn't have to reflect bodies that are on a screen out there or on a sign out there. The body in itself is inherently holy because it is alive and you can do good. That is the message of Bodies of Water that has been most exciting to share, and to see the light bulbs go off in people's minds when they hear that message, because it's so counter to so many messages that we receive elsewhere in our lives.
And finally, the mikveh, it's a process. Could you walk us through sort of the steps of what that looks like if we wanted to go out in a body of water and do mikveh for ourselves?
Absolutely. So it begins with a physical preparation. The guiding principle there is to remove anything that can be removed, to take off all of the external markers of our identity and what we wear to convey who we are. So whether that's makeup or jewelry or nail polish or glasses or any kind of accessories, that anything that can come off comes off. If tattoos are on your body, then they're part of your body and they can't come off. to go through that process mindfully and to bathe in a way that gives love and attention to your body in a different way than you would do in a normal shower. And then we do a little breathing just to prepare to go into the water. There are, as I said, 7 steps that go down. It's good to do that in a slow way. If you're accessing a natural body of water, you may not have the 7 steps, but you could take 7 small steps into the water and think about a transition that you are marking from one state to another, whether that is a graduation or a retirement or a milestone birthday or an anniversary, or any time when you're going from one state to another state. This is a very profound ritual, because when you enter water with the intention of being touched by this substance that has been on our planet since the moment of creation, since life on Earth began, it's very different than just hopping in the shower, shampooing, washing, and drying off. It's really allowing your body to be in touch with that first moment of creation and to be renewed and restored by that. So the core of the ritual are 3 complete immersions, making sure the whole body is immersed, saying a blessing after the first immersion for giving thanks for this ability to go into the water and to come out safely, immersing again, saying another blessing, thanking God for being alive, for being sustained and being brought to this very moment, immersing again, and then having the 3rd blessing be your own personal blessing for the transition that you're marking via this ritual.
Thank you, Naomi. And there's information at the main office that she's laid out for us about how to do a mikveh if you wanted to do one on your own. So thank you so much for joining
us
and having this conversation. Blessings.
We do thank Naomi for joining us as in anticipation, friends, of some of you asking about how to go about doing a mikvah. I asked Naomi to prepare a guide for us. As Pastor Teresa said, they are available at the front desk. I assured Naomi that she was not going to be inundated with calls from Christians to come to the temple to do mikvah. So let us honor our sister Faith and participate in the way that she has guided us to do so by joining in an outdoor immersion ceremony. And please, you're welcome to pick one up at the front desk. Let us spend just a few moments looking at our text. Psalm 51 is a prayer, as many of the Psalms are in the Old Testament. The backstory to this psalm is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 11. King David commits adultery and then has the husband of the wife to whom he committed adultery with killed. Uriah was a loyal soldier and served under the authority of King David. Nathan, who also was served under the authority of King David, went to him and helped him to see that his course of action was grave and that it was not a good choice. It is in this state of contemplation that David cries out to God. So Psalm 51 is a prayer. It is a plea to God to deliver David from his tainted spirit. He writes, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." This is a prayer for forgiveness and purifying. Hyssop was a plant or herb used in the sacrificial purifications and sprinklings. David is prevailing upon God to purify that which is unclean in him, to purge him, to wash him. David is literally begging God. In the John text, Jesus comes to his disciples in full humility and full expression of love to wash his disciples' feet. Washing feet was not an act of a master. That was relegated to slaves and servants. Through this ritual wash, Jesus is offering the inheritance of eternal life that comes by and through faith in him. Now, this is what we believe in the Christian church, that inheritance of everlasting life is through the belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Again, I want to underscore that our belief is not exclusionary to other faith teachings, traditions, and practices. Please hear me. As Jesus is humbling himself and speaking, there is a shift in the story. Peter begs to Jesus to not only wash his feet, but he wants Jesus to wash his hands and his head. I believe that this was Peter's way of saying, "I want to have share with you, Master. I want to experience the completeness and the fullness of your love and to be in community with you." So this brings me to the question, why is washing so essential? Washing is a universal practice. It is done all over the world. Bathing and washing puts us in a state of rest and relaxation. It is used to cleanse, yes. One does not have to be overly religious or remotely religious to understand the significance of washing. Many of us right here will not even think twice when we go to our homes that we are blessed to have and get in the shower later this evening or in the morning or sometime this week as the water is flowing over us and around us. We won't even think twice about it. But ask the people that sleep on our steps outside. or some other folk that are homeless and hungry and have no home to go to, ask them what a shower or a bath might mean to them. I would guess that the homeless person might approach that washing experience in a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude. I do believe washing is so deeply spiritual, and I want to lift up three points for you. First, washing is directly connected to the use of water. Simple. I suppose it's not impossible, yet it is difficult to get something clean without the use of water. This is particularly true in the context that we are engaging about washing. Water is life-giving, it is life-sustaining. There are estimates that the earth is comprised nearly of 75% water. We remember what Naomi just mentioned to us, and we recall the formation of the world in Genesis, when God formed and fashioned this place from water. It does not say where water came from. It was already here. Water is essential to the human body. There are estimates that our body contains up to 60% of water. Water is intricately related to washing because through this involvement, water in our bodies and water in the earth, it serves to deliver, to restore, to direct, to convert, to regulate, and yes, to cleanse. There would be virtually no external washing without water. Second, washing is biblically rooted. It is used to cleanse. Throughout Torah, the latter Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, we learn about the significance of cleansing or purifying. We had a wonderful explanation just a few moments ago. We remember what Naomi said, that mikvah is steeped in the Judaic tradition. It is through this powerful cleansing and blessing that one embodies the spiritual existence. So the psalmist writes, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I believe David recalled the importance of ritual purification of washing in his plea to God. And then thirdly, washing restores, it replenishes, and it reconciles. I believe this really was David's posture. He realized his actions had landed him in a tough place. He believed that the nature of what he had done and his heart were now impure. And David knew that he could not make his own self clean. He knew this. He realized that this was the work of God. It is through the sacramental act of washing that he would be reconciled to the Holy One. What is the meaning of wash for you? Is it just solely an act of physical cleaning? Or is it washing for you on a spiritual realm? I submit to you, friends, that every person is innately spiritual. No matter how evil somebody else thinks they are, whatever acts they've done, I believe that everybody is innately spiritual. And I'm sure that some of you may challenge that, and that's totally fine, but I'm telling you what Dawn believes. Because I do believe that God created humanity. And I do believe that we are all created in the image of God, and therefore, in my mind, it renders us spiritual beings. What would it look like if we truly submitted ourselves to sacramental living? During times of healing and financial strain, career changes, life's milestones, during times of uncertainty and a need for clarity and direction, during times of celebration and seasons of thanksgiving, what would it look like? How would it feel to be washed? during this season of Lent, as we go through a time of offering penitence, perhaps we can reawaken ourselves, if we haven't already done so, to a time of spiritual renewal. We are literally and profoundly a vast body of water. If we allow ourselves, we can experience the fullness of life by attuning ourselves to sacramental living. If you're not ready for the outdoor immersion experience, what we would call our mikvah, the next time you're in water, why don't you just take a few moments and to give thanks to God for the waters that are pouring over you.